A $1 part is being blamed as the source of the holdup for new console production, along with all other electronic device production. But the outrage over a $1 part ignores the economies of scale. A general-purpose, broadly applicable, inexpensive device means that millions, even billions, are created within an incredibly short time frame. What happens when supply or demand swings dramatically for that part? A critical shortfall. This is the update for Mr. Not an Economist. It's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to explain more on this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 864 of our show for this April the 11th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me as always, say hello first off to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Yo.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. It's been a cool day. I got to hang out with Becky and Julian, and he's doing better, and It's been pretty good. And I'll ask you when it's your turn for how is your week?
Let me introduce Loki, and then we'll come back to me. Loki, first off, the audience may not know, Julian's been dealing with some stuff. We'll just leave it at that. But it's looking hopeful, which is good.
Yes.
And, he was, and if you don't know who we're talking about, we had him on the show. And he was probably about, you were thinking 9 years old when he was on the show talking about Minecraft, right?
More like 10, yeah.
Yeah, he's 13 now and tall in the last picture I saw, so.
Yeah, he's taller than me and Becky and still growing.
Oh, boy. So it'll be fun to have him back at some point, so we'll have to make that happen.
He's interested in it.
Awesome. All right, also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Yeah, because I'm 40 and I'm still talking about Minecraft, so it's fine.
Love it. You have a great new microphone, which suddenly disappeared from your camera, but I like it. You have a
it's
new mic.
They moved it away from me. It's literally in front of my face, but yeah.
Okay, well, it's great that you have a new mic. And of course, as we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. If the audio seems off to you guys, please let us know. I do try to watch it live, but like visually and what you guys really hear can often be a different thing. So I always am watching the chat to get that sort of feedback there. So all right, let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says enter the Matrix in the background, and some folks are saying, wow, it looks old. Yes, it is an older game. Yeah, what that was like a GameCube game, right?
That was PlayStation 2, GameCube, and Xbox. So yeah.
And now, of course, since you moved your mic from when we calibrated before the show, you're a little bit low, but that's okay.
How about I move it again? Let me move it again.
No, you're fine. I adjusted it on this side. You're good. All right. Let me go back to Dark Sakura because she had asked, how was my day? I've brought it up on the show a couple of times. I got my second COVID shot today, and I'm fine. I'm just tired. Like, but I don't know. I'm also asking the question, am I tired because of the vaccine, or am I tired because I'm lazy? Or am I tired because I've actually been like super getting into walking lately, which sounds weird, but I've definitely hit this point where I'm like, wow, that COVID-19 pounds, that's very noticeable, Rob. I need to do something about this. So I've been really trying to like get up and move and like use apps to do that. Not just things like Pokemon Go and gamification, but like, you know, tracking for my heart rate and things like that. So I might just be tired because I've been doing that like every day this week. Been walking at least 2 miles, if not more. Most days I was actually doing 3 or 3.5. So that I might just be tired from that. But I took today off, obviously, because of getting the shot. I knew that I'd be a little bit tired. But yeah, and I also find I'm just kind of like, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, my brain is just, like, I'm forgetting really weird things for OLR tonight. I remember to hit record before you ask. That one I remembered. But I'm forgetting, like, other weird things. Like, we weren't muted when we went live tonight, so they heard somebody cough. Like, just weird things like that that usually aren't a problem. But trust me, whatever this is, it's way better than getting COVID itself. And I would hate for people to have these side effects that they're hearing about stop them from potentially getting the vaccine, because everybody really should get vaccinated, because that's what's going to help stop the spread of this thing. And unfortunately, you're starting to hear about there's another surge, right? Not so much in California. I think we're okay for now. But you're seeing a surge in other parts of the country
because and it's a lot younger people are spreading it now because unfortunately the narrative in the beginning became, oh, young people are immune to this and the survival rate is so high, da 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 da, and nobody was talking about, but there are long term effects. And we've had somebody on this program talking about their long term effects who is not, you know, who is young, younger than 40. And you know, people are just like tuning that kind of stuff out for whatever reason. And so now it's spreading with younger people. So just get the damn vaccine. It's not going to be that difficult. If y'all get flu shots, it's like it's like the same thing. I don't always feel great the day I get the flu shot either, but then it's gone pretty quick. Right. And then I don't get the flu. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's my day. I barely got to do the Pokemon Go community day today. And that was sad just because I came home and I wanted a nap. But I caught 3 shinies. And that's enough to have one. So the special Pokemon today is Snivy. So I caught 3. So that's enough to have one of each. And that's fine by me. I don't know how many Shane got. He texted me about 90 minutes into it for his time. He said he was up to 23. So I'm like, he probably had 100 by the time it was done. I don't know. I'll have to message him. Who knows?
Sounds like it, though.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Let's see. Bobby says, I'm actually glad I got some side effects from the second shot. It told me it was working. Yes, that's very true. ActDev says Shane tweeted that he got 38 or 39. So it's so high he lost count. How about that?
That sounds accurate.
That sounds very accurate. All right. Let's get into tonight's kickoff topic. Lots of talk about Sony this week in the news. Some decisions going on internally. Loki, you want to talk to us a little bit about this?
Yeah, apparently they've decided, hey, you know what? We won a lot of awards for The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2. How about we do another Last of Us? And so they are. They're planning right now on remaking the original Last of Us for PlayStation 5. The original Last of Us came out in 2013. It's not all that old. So I'm surprised that they're remaking it, but
I'm not. They redid PS3 games for PS4, like Heavy Rain.
Yeah, I guess, but
I'm not surprised they're doing it again.
But those weren't remakes,
and it's a great
though.
Game.
Those are remasters.
Well, so somebody, just to be quick, somebody came up with a good theory online, and I hope this is true. I think somebody replied to one of my tweets with this, is that if they redo The Last of Us and put the accessibility settings the second game had, because that's what the first game's missing from 2013, is that huge range of accessibility from the second game. So if they redo the first game with that, that's going to make it playable for some people. So that's going to be a huge change. So there is that.
Yeah, so right now they're sticking to making big blockbuster games. So I assume that'll be the same with The Last of Us remake, remaster, whatever you're going to call it, when it eventually comes out. But I don't know. I think it's too soon. I don't have a problem with them doing like a remake, but like a remaster. Like, hey, you know what? We're bringing The Last of Us with those additional accessibility settings and we're bringing it to the PlayStation 5. I don't consider that a remake. Like the Final Fantasy VII remake is a remake. The Last of Us, if you were actually going to remake the game in its entirety for the PlayStation 5, seems like that's way too soon.
Now, what about this whole talk about the Days Gone sequel that they had pitched is apparently not actually going to be happening? Like, the studio that did that wanted to do like a sequel to Days Gone, and so they've decided for whatever reason they're not going to do it. I don't know if the game just wasn't
not critically acclaimed enough.
I guess. Some people said the ending really set it up for a sequel that I guess wasn't quite ready yet.
Well, I mean, it just probably wasn't as popular as The Last of Us. The Last of Us, you know, and probably, you know, even so much as like Uncharted and stuff, extremely popular franchises. Days Gone, I don't see a HBO Days Gone show. I don't see them, you know, winning tons of awards for that game. It was just it was good.
And so
it wasn't
okay.
Like,
sorry,
excellent.
But now you're really dropping the breadcrumbs into the larger piece of what is happening with all these moves from Sony this week, which is Sony seems to be infatuated with the big budget, the blockbuster games, and this is their approach. And that's, you kind of just said what it is. Days Gone isn't about to become an HBO show. Days Gone doesn't have all these things going for it. But then again, Loki, Horizon Zero Dawn doesn't have a HBO show yet.
but Sony definitely seems to still be sticking with that one. But Sony definitely seems to be trending towards this. They want to take, they want to put a lot of money into big, big games, big, big exclusives, and really take that risk, which I guess
they
is
kind of need to.
Well,
because I think.
Okay, go ahead.
I think they kind of have to because they see the writing on the walls. I mean, Microsoft has purchased a lot of big studios like Bethesda, you know, which carries with it, you know, id, and of course, you know, the big, you know, like Elder Scrolls franchise, Fallout and stuff. Those are all going to be exclusive Xbox games coming soon. They have to go in on big exclusive titles because that's what's drawing people to those platforms. I think if they're competing head to head as far as like third party games go, I think Microsoft has a better offering there, especially with Games Pass.
Right.
Sure, some games, you know, with the hardware might be more polished on PlayStation 5 versus Xbox Series X or something like that. But when it comes down to it, it doesn't really matter. It's like usually you'll get a console where all your friends are, I guess, or you're buying both. But if third-party games don't really differ that greatly between two different platforms. So it's really coming down to the first party games, and they really need to have something that draws people to that console.
Loki, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there like, it doesn't Sony seem to be moving? And again, you know, here we go again. This is all about perception, not necessarily facts. But if I remember right, a smaller team was working on this Last of Us remaster, like a whole little studio that was kind of formed to do these sorts of artistic sorts of things, and then they shifted that to Naughty Dog and basically kind of this like little pet project team that wanted to do these audiovisual sorts of things. They were kind of dismantled and sent throughout the company, which was kind of like a blow to, you know, their morale and so forth, because, you know, they were very excited about what they were doing. But my point is, does Sony not see the value in what like a smaller team can do anymore? That's kind of a concern, because, you know, yes, Microsoft is buying up all these big things like Bethesda, but what's really a strength of Game Pass right now? Game Pass has a lot of indie stuff that's on it, and a lot of indies get discovered through that, right? So, yeah, you're muted, Loki, just, you know.
I know, there's so much chaos going in the background right
okay,
now.
Okay, that's all right.
Doorbells ringing, dogs barking. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I already knew going into tonight's show it was going to be one of those nights. Well,
this brand new mic is so awesome, it picks up all of that, even if it's across the house.
All right. Well, let me ask this then. Let me ask Dark Sakura. What do you think about Sony's approach here, where it seems like they're really shifting to, we're going to be about the big AAA games and maybe not so much the smaller stuff?
I think it's unsurprising. I think that they're really looking, I think, for the higher dollar items, things mm-hmm. that are going to maybe not be able to go again for the entire, for a wider spread group of players, but something that's going to be for the majority of their players. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Something that's going to bring in more focused revenue, mm-hmm. I reckon.
Yeah, and it's really about not just having exclusives, but big exclusives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe that's where they've discovered that that's really, their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm really in the place where I kind of want to just wait and see,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
But I mean, I think they're going to lose opportunity with less focus on the indie.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm hoping for is that, you know, they still have that support, at least a degree of support for that particular group.
Yeah, and you know, if Sony is going to come up with some kind of answer to Microsoft Game Pass, it would really behoove them to, you know, if the strength of, you know, the smaller, the B and C games, for lack of a better description, if that's not going to be able to really come from Sony's first party, then they're really going to have to form those relationships, not necessarily buying in total acquisitions, but those relationships to really help with the B and C and the indie stuff, because you know, I, and I don't think it is. I wouldn't want to read into this that Sony's turning their back on indies, because not necessarily. I mean, that could be part of their larger, you know, publishing and distribution. This is about what they're doing in-house. But I mean, if they don't try to get some exclusives in that area with the BNCTs, I worry that they're going to miss out on the next Minecraft, the next Among Us, the next Five Nights at Freddy's, which, well, to be fair, they do have a Five Nights at Freddy's game coming. But so maybe not, maybe that answers my question. But, you know, they might miss out on the next, like, huge Twitch phenomenon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But, if you know, but the only ones that they're going to have to blame for that would be themselves.
Yeah. Well,
you know? And then. And they will survive whatever happens. So, you know, they'll just regroup and start over.
And all those games you're talking about aren't first party games anyways. They're, I mean, you may have some license by them, but they're all being developed by third parties. It just, sometimes they may be console exclusives or something like that for a time period, but that's not Sony themselves actually.
But the partnerships, That's what I, They can kind of supplement with that. But going back to kind of what Dark Sakura was saying is about, you know, that's going to be a problem with them. You know, I saw an interesting article this week, and I see chat comments too. I'm not ignoring you guys. I promise I'll get to your chat comments as well. There's a lot to devour with this. I saw an interesting story this week about how Sony needs to get an answer to Game Pass, basically. Where is Sony's answer to Game Pass? And this is in some Facebook community I'm in. I actually replied and I said, I'm starting to think Sony doesn't need an answer to Game Pass. Sony needs an answer to Phil Spencer. And I don't want to sound like a fanboy, and I would hope my, you know, 19-year resume of this show and so forth show that, you know, I do embrace all the gaming systems. I love them, and I also scold them when they need a little bit of scolding. But I'm starting to get a little bit worried about the leadership. We're not in a dire situation yet. We're not in a Don Matrick is driving this into the ground situation yet. But we've got the tone deafness on backwards compatibility. We've got the fact that we didn't foresee Game Pass's success, and we don't really have an answer to that. Or if you want to say, but PlayStation Now, okay, PlayStation Now is not positioned appropriately to compete with Game Pass because not cloud gaming is not being embraced by the masses yet the way I think people thought it would be at this point. And now we have this story, which sure sounds a lot like Sony just wants to do blockbusters and forget the little stuff. I don't think that's 100% the case. Again, there's a partnership, but it's that perception, right? And it is starting to make me think, maybe it seems like a lot of this weird stuff with Sony sure happened in the past couple years since we changed who's at the top. And that's very important and can trickle down. Meanwhile, you've got Microsoft and Phil Spencer. And I mean, He knows his shit, and they've been swinging and hitting it out of the park. Oh, the MLB thing. That's just from last week. That's another one where it's like, how did Sony let that happen? Yes, I know it was the MLB that actually signed, but how did Sony let that happen? You know what I mean? Because they didn't have a response to it. Sorry, Loki.
Oh, I was going to say, and also since we were talking about them, you know, being focused on blockbusters, I mean, look at some of the games that are coming out on, you know, from Microsoft, or I guess some of their studios like Rare. Like, for example, they developed and published Battletoads. Who would have thought that would have happened? We're not going to see, you know, Jumping Flash coming from Sony anytime soon. It's because it's not popular and it's not, you know, making a ton of money or winning awards. And so that's something that they're not going to pursue. They're going to pursue more of these cinematic games. And honestly, I don't know. I'm just kind of bored of that stuff.
Yeah. Let me get to some of the comments from chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, because I don't want to make it sound like I'm ignoring. Sorry. Questbuster saying, that was sad. The studio that saw The Last of Us Remake project as a way to break away from assisting with games to doing bigger projects aimed at eventually making their own down the line. And Questbuster says, to add to this, Days Gone Well apparently did well commercially, but critically it wasn't enough to justify a sequel. SSG100 Matt, very interesting here. This feels very Disney. They're only interested in titles that will net massive returns. So if that game is great but doesn't make that massive return, they'll kill any sequel plans. Just puts a lot of pressure on those titles to do massively well. And Bobby Blackwolf is talking about the whole MLB thing, saying, well, Sony let that happen because if they didn't, they wouldn't be able to make the MLB game anymore, and we'd be seeing EA Sports Triple Play 21. MLB totally strong-armed Sony on that one. Yes, but I get that part. I'm not questioning why did the game go to Xbox. Why did the game go to Xbox Game Pass? And okay, sure, you might say it's the MLB strong-arming, but I would question, why didn't Sony see that Game Pass was the competitor that it is? Because they've had the chance much earlier down the line and have something of their own to offer the Major League Baseball team. You should put the game on this service because, okay, we're going to be multi-platform, but Sony is still the home of this game through this service. That is what I'm saying is the missed opportunity, and that it went over to Game Pass as a result. So... and Bobby says Sony came out this week and said they had no say in the Game Pass decision. Yes, and last week I said that would happen, sort of. Okay,
yeah,
because I said you're gonna have all these YouTubes and all these podcasts that are only gonna read it in the headline. Sony put a game on Game Pass, even though you know, I know, we all know that talked about this. That's not really what happened, but perception is that Sony let it happen. And so that's why Sony had to come out and say, we didn't do it, because you have all these other tweets, you have these Facebook comments, you have everything else. It's like, how did Sony's put a game on Game Pass, LOL. I'm having trouble hearing you. So anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see. Other comments here. DJ Roma S says, I think it's a Sony thing. A lot of games that come out on PlayStation first will end up coming out on Xbox sometime later as a digital release. Sure. You know, especially a lot of like the Final Fantasy stuff. Although Final Fantasy VII Remake, the year is up that it should have been an exclusive, and we're not seeing that on Microsoft. So it's not happening everywhere, but yes, you know, we have seen some things. I'm trying to think if it goes vice versa too. Have we seen something that came out on Xbox that then showed up on Sony later on? I'm drawing a blank in the moment.
Was Tomb Raider exclusive, or is that Sony?
Bingo. No, it was the sequel. It was Rise of the Tomb Raider. It was that way.
Yes.
That was a while ago at this point, and I think that was Microsoft buying time for all the studio acquisitions they were doing. Okay, Cuphead, that's a little bit better. Yeah, that's good. Anyway. are the Ori games on PlayStation, asks ActDef. No, they are not. They're on Switch. That's a whole other thing. All right, so anyway. Sony making some interesting moves. I don't necessarily see this particular headline as doom and gloom, but when you kind of put the whole thing together, it really does look like Sony's leadership is going in a very interesting new direction. And I'm not sure it's going to be a net positive. At the end of the day, we'll let the game speak for themselves, and perhaps I will be wrong, and that's fine. I just worry all this stuff about Game Pass competitor, no backwards compatibility, and some of these other decisions there. And now, you know, now we don't have, you know, as many of the pet projects. I just worry some of these things are going to come back and bite them in the butt. And I think the MLB thing, although yes, there's other factors at play there, I think is an example of that. And I don't think that's the last time we're going to hear something like that. So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about our gaming weeks, the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was different. I did, of course, play Animal Crossing, and I'm playing Wordscape still. But I started playing around in Dead by Daylight, and I've done the tutorials. And sadly, I need to rethink my streaming setup,
mm-hmm.
because I have to play it full screen to do it through Stadia. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to watch chat. So I've had to uninstall like some extensions I did to play it windowed because it still won't work.
Use their phones to monitor, or like a tablet to monitor.
Well,
chat.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to be using my iPad to monitor the chat.
Yeah.
So so I also have updated Dead by Daylight Mobile on my iPad, and I'm going to give that one a go too.
Actually, can we take a step back? Because you kind of said something very quickly there, but it's something we haven't really gone into a lot on this show. You mentioned that you were playing this on Stadia. And I think that's kind of interesting because, you know, I think I've talked about I'm not a big fan of the bandwidth consumption, all that and so forth. But you're actually in there. You bought the game. You're using it. How is Stadia itself working for you? Are you enjoying that?
Well, All I've done is play that game, and it might be enough that I will be going back to paying for the full account,
mm-hmm.
for the, what they call it, pro.
Yeah.
But it's played really smoothly. It looks great on my Mac. So I haven't really had any problems with it. I haven't played an online game yet, you know. I've just been, you know, trying to get the game worked out for me, but I haven't had any kind of, you know, latency playing on that or anything too crazy. So far, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I'll be curious how that continues to work out for you. And Bobby in chat says, Stadia, the technology works great. That is true. A lot of these, you know, things with Stadia was never really about the technology. It was just kind of about how they're rolling it out. So there is that. But I'll be, you know, the nice thing about Dead by Daylight in particular is that it's crossplay. So, I mean, like, you're going to be right in there with everybody else on, you know, Steam, Microsoft Store, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, all of it. So you don't have to worry about anything like that. So, and you also make an interesting, very, very interesting use case for Stadia about the whole, like, you know, playing it on a Mac, which, you know, of course there's games on the Mac, but we know that there's been a disconnect for some time about how many games are on PC versus Mac, but this is a very interesting bridge. And it almost makes me think, as more and more cloud gaming rolls out, as more and more fast internet becomes accessible, I think these days of, you know, whatever system is not going to matter as much as cloud gaming starts to get bigger. But I guess that's a ways off. But you do make a very interesting use case.
And honestly, now, I mean, I would hate for this to go away and for have me and leave me with no way to play my game.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be what would happen if Google Stadia were to suddenly close? But I think you'd have a couple years while a transition plays out, and I think Google would kind of owe you a redemption of the game on another platform or something, like, or a place you could download it on another platform. But who knows?
One would think.
Yeah. I guess Google's not talking about it, cuz why would they? They don't want to talk about what happens when it goes under, cuz from their perspective it's never going under. So,
So they hope.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody frantically downloading their PlayStation 1 games on their PlayStation 3 and Vita and all that stuff would beg to differ.
Right.
So, there is that.
But I've been, for the most part, I mean, for the bits I've been able to do on it, I've been pretty darn happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. All right. Let's move on to Loki. How was your gaming week?
It has been Minecraft. As I kind of mentioned, and I streamed a little bit on Friday.
I rated you. It was good. Fun.
Yes. It was great. It's hard streaming when you're in a kitchen and there's a cat screaming at you and everybody's asleep and you have to be quiet because you don't have a sound isolated place to be. But yeah, so I've been playing on this. I got invited to this server that's it's emulating, I guess, what Hermitcraft does. They're a pretty popular group of Minecraft streamers. So it's a bunch of people that are kind of getting in the streaming, playing together, about 30 people. And it's a survival multiplayer server. And I haven't played Java in forever. I'm used to Bedrock. So I've been playing with an expatterons to use my joystick to actually... Or joystick, what am I, in the 80s? my gamepad to actually be able to play that, because normally it's keyboard and mouse, and I don't play keyboard and mouse. It's too hard for me. So it's been working out pretty good. And with the shaders now, since I'm playing Java, oh my God, it is so gorgeous. Like, it is incredibly...
That was one thing I noticed right when I rated you. I was like... He got the 4K pack that never came out.
It's
but
not
I know
the 4K pack.
I know,
yeah,
it's NVIDIA. It's the NVIDIA thing. Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah,
it's not even NVIDIA. It's just like the built-in Optifine shaders, or it's BSD, I think is what it is. And
nice,
it just looks so nice. Like, it. This is how it should be on Xbox, you know, Series X or PlayStation 5. It should look that nice. And I don't understand. Like, Java's really the least optimized, I think, as far as graphics goes, but man, it is so beautiful. It's such a beautiful game. The only issue I mean is the mob sounds are so loud, and I don't know what it is, if it's just I'm used to Bedrock or whatever. I've turned it down to 50% and actually lower, but it's just like screaming. I went into a dungeon the other day, or close to a dungeon. It was just so loud. But what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to be able to turn this into like playing regularly, uploading to YouTube regularly, doing some streaming and stuff like that, and actually get into the whole like streaming and content creation on a regular basis. That's my goal, because I hate my corporate job so much. I will do anything to get out of it, anything at all. So I'll try this for a little bit. But
it's going to be a labor of love for a long time. Well, look at this show.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, so it's been fun.
18 years and we're breaking even.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I haven't met anybody on the server yet. I've been playing for like 3 days, but like I'm kind of far away from everybody, and they had a month's head start. So everything's been kind of ransacked already, which kind of sucks. It puts me a little bit behind, but I'm slowly getting there. I've been just grinding, but it'll be fine. Eventually, if it's anything like Hermitcraft, it's going to be, you know, trying to build these giant builds throughout the course of the season, which I think they're planning on probably updating in when 1.17 comes out. So that's probably going to be in the summer sometime, probably at least like 3 or 4 months. Hmm. But it's been fun. I hope that, I mean, everyone seems nice so far. I just haven't actually played with anybody. But I'm enjoying it and I'm excited about it.
Awesome. And just so the folks watching on Twitch know, Loki's audio is coming through fine, but your video is like very choppy, like only a few frames a second. I don't know if that's weird. The video you're running in the background or what, but yeah, it's...
It's probably other things. I think I still have... Oh yeah, I still have Streamlabs OBS from earlier. It's not...
That'll do it.
Doing anything. I'll just close this thing.
Yeah, it still might.
Let's see. Oh, did that make a difference?
How about that? It made a difference. No? Well, a little bit.
I don't know.
A little
how
bit.
How about now? Yeah, it seems to be better now.
Yeah, a little bit. You're a little lagged, but that's all right. It'll probably just take a minute to catch up. If you probably close your camera and restart it thing, it'll probably catch up. All right. Meanwhile, I'll talk about my gaming week. So I've played a few games this week. I've been continuing in No Man's Sky, which I talked about last week. You know, I'd really started that five nights of streaming the Expeditions mode. And I streamed one more night on Friday. That's when I raided Loki after that. So I've been continuing on the Expeditions. And I've gotten to the point where I'm playing a little bit off stream because some of it was starting to feel a little bit grindy and I didn't think it would make for an interesting stream. And also just the fact that, you know what, sometimes I just want to be a fat vegetable on the couch and play the game and not have to worry about being on and interacting with folks and all that stuff. I love doing it when I'm in the mood for it, but sometimes I just want to, you know, chill and explore space. That's for sure. You know, sometimes just, you know, chill out and enjoy space and not necessarily have to perform. What else? I've been playing Dead by Daylight still. Thanks to my murder sister, we have new characters in the house. And my murder sister, of course, is Dark Sakura, because she keeps funny. I think I said my murder mom, but that sounds a little creepy. So murder sister is a little better because she actually is a sister. You bought me the obviously you bought me Freddy, and you know how that went. That became like Freddy's my main killer now. And
yeah.
I had a hell of a game like yesterday morning. Where these little assholes, like three of them were together and they were just there to bully the killer by sabotaging the hook. Like they would talk to each other. And as soon as I'd pick someone up, the other two would run to the nearest hooks and sabotage them. And they kept doing this over and over. I four killed them and I was so happy about it. And I had to be,
awesome.
I had to be a complete dick to do it. I had to tunnel one of them completely. But it was worth it. It was so worth it. Because when you're doing that, you can't really work on gens. So at some point, they had to run out and work on gens, and I was able to kind of time it right so I could hook one of them and tunnel him and not let him get rescued. Anyway, so I was very naughty and kind of violated the code that you're not really supposed to tunnel survivors. But you know what? They were dicks. They deserved it.
They were being dicks.
Yeah, exactly. When you start trolling, then I'm going to troll. That's that.
So question for you, Rob. Yeah. Do you play with the keyboard or do you play with the controller?
I play with the controller. And it always,
that's what I'm thinking about doing.
It always impresses Alan. He's like, I don't know how the hell you play that game on controller.
Well, it's just that I've been having some problems, like, especially when I have to, you know, like, run. This is only during the Survivor one, because I don't think the killers run, do they?
No. You might have somebody, like, that gets a burst of speed, like the hillbilly uses the chainsaw and has, like, a burst of speed, but not like, running in the sense like survivors do, no.
Yeah, but it's just sort of like the hard time I'm having is hitting, like, for example, to hold like control to crouch or something, where I think it would be better having shoulder buttons for something like that.
Yeah, and actually the default is that the little on Xbox, the bumper left is run and the bumper right is crouch, if I remember.
Okay,
right. Yeah.
So, well, and I've got a Stadia controller because Stadia thing.
Yeah, check it out. The only thing about controller, it's you can't flip a 180. And sometimes survivors will loop you, like they'll run around you type of thing to try to, because in Dead by Daylight, the killers have to play first person. The survivors play third person. And that actually is a very interesting dynamic because the survivors will use it to kind of like run a loop around the killer, literally a loop around the killer, so that the killer kind of swings and misses. And now the killer's running the other way. And on a controller, that sucks because you have to hold the stick down while you turn around, right? It's fast, but it's enough. Whereas on keyboard and mouse, you just be like, whoop, you can just like fling around real fast, right? So that's the one down thing. I really wish they would make it so that if you click R3 or whatever it is, if you click that stick, then it flips. I would be very happy if they did that.
So is it like like something that you hit on the keyboard to flip or what?
No, it's just somebody would drag their mouse that fast. You know how, like, with a mouse and keyboard, you could do a quick swipe of the mouse, you'd spin around real fast?
Well, see, I use a trackball, so I don't know that I would have that ability anyway.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It might be a little different.
So,
but yeah,
it might be moot.
It doesn't ruin the game or anything. I still play it, but it is one of those things where, you know, Alan is like, how do you do that? But at the same time, the controller, I think, also has a lot of advantages as well, I think, in the way I move. But anyway. I digress.
Well, and also, remember, I used to play Final Fantasy XI with a controller for a long time and did macros and everything.
Sure. That's what the game was built for on the PS2.
Yeah.
So, I've also been playing in Dead by Daylight. You bought me the Spirit. So I did do a match or two with her. It was rough. I'm not going to lie. It was rough. I think I still need some talents to make her more useful. I like her in theory, but it's not like with Freddy, where Freddy was great right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a little different.
And on top of that, I was reading that she does actually have quite the significant curve to learn, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with the last bit of money, because Murder Sister sent $10 to Alan for him to get the Trickster, which happened, and then that was leftover money for me. So I haven't spent it yet, but I will also probably buy Trickster just because I want his talents.
Starstruck or something?
Yeah, Starstruck is pretty incredible. And they're rebalancing him next week, so because he's perceived a little weak right now, so they're going to kind of buff him this week.
Well, I think he's absolutely entertaining to watch people play him.
Yeah.
So
I did.
And on top of that, his blades are actually kind of unfair because you can do so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I did one more survivor match. I never play survivor, but I did play, and I went up against Trickster and we escaped. The trickster just was bad. Like it's not a nice way for me to say it, but yeah, a newer killer. They did not leave the center house at all. Like they only stuck in that until the exit gates were already open. It was pretty like, what are you doing? Anyway. All right. This isn't a Dead by Daylight podcast though. I mean, it could be, but well, actually Dark Sakura, I really think, you and I should do a stream, and I think we'll do a surprise stream. We're not going to date it. We'll do it when we feel like it, but you and I should do like a OLR bonus stage or OLR extra stage where I play some Dead by Daylight and you can provide commentary and all that stuff.
I could do that.
You already are more into the lore in this game than I am, because you were like, have you heard about this theory about how Nia is the entity? And I'm like, girl,
it's the Nia entity.
Girl, I maybe read two bios and then I jumped in and played the game.
Honestly, though, if you go in and like on all the bios and stuff are on the wiki.
Yeah.
And it's honestly a very well concocted story on top of that, especially how they've blended in like the DLC stuff, the licensed characters and whatnot. And I was just randomly just looking up stuff online, and I found a fanfic and I read it from beginning to end, all 30 chapters of it. That was talking of, it was about like, because you know the pig was Amanda from Saul,
right? Of course. Yeah.
It was talking about her regaining her humanity and something and becoming a survivor and blah, 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 different new things. But the way that they blended like as crossover fiction with the Saw universe. And then, of course, there was Ash. So there was blend in with Evil Dead. But it was the way that these lores can be combined and integrated. It was actually pretty cool. And it was really that story that had me really thinking a bit more about you're actually dealing with a multiverse in the form of the entities realm, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I was, I've been digging into the character lore and the history of them, and the characters are actually pretty well fleshed out, and I feel really sorry for some of the killers.
It's interesting, you know. I'm sorry, I just said we're not going to talk about this, but I have to say this. Dead by Daylight is an interesting phenomenon because it's not the best looking game. It's not really even mechanically the best multiplayer game out there. It's not like it's not really the best game out there, honestly. Let's be real. It's not the best game on the market right now.
It's the fun you have with
it. But it's fun. And yeah. I don't, you all know how I feel about horror movies. I'm not even that into it, but it's oddly fun. So, and it's not gross. That's the other thing. I just don't like gross horror. And honestly, it's not, this game isn't gross. It's not that bad.
Not really. I mean, there's no actual like wound
no.
when you're on the hook.
Even when Pyramid Head like does the sword and goes flush and slices someone, that's all. It's like Mortal Kombat 3 level fatality. Like it's not yeah. oh like Mortal Kombat X when things are getting too real. It's still
watching,
very cartoony.
Like, one of the Memento Mori.
Yeah.
You know, which is the kill move.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way,
it's a fatality.
Fan fiction is when people. When people refer to terminology that a player knows as something that the characters know,
mm-hmm.
that annoys me. So anyway, going back to that, you know, even while like their Moris are pretty brutal looking, they're not gory.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And by the way, I think that Ghostface has the best Mori, just saying.
That's what a lot of people say. Bobby Blackwolf in chats reminds us of a key point. Games are supposed to be fun. And DJ Rama S says this. And yeah, there's a certain X factor about Dead by Daylight that just, it's just fun to play. And I think, and the reason why I bring this up after what Dark Sakura said, I think some of that whole, like, I love that comparison of it's the multiverse. Because this game came out in 2016. People were barely talking about it because everybody was playing that Friday the 13th game at first. But then they got Michael Myers. Then they got Bubba from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Then they got Ghostface. Then they got Pyramid Head. Then they got Amanda from Saw. And I think you nailed it. This is now like 80s, 90s horror movie multiverse. The only thing they're missing is Jason. They're missing Jason. That's it. And that's obviously a whole other complicated licensing thing. And I'm sure that is the end game for Dead by Daylight is they'd love to get Jason, but that's very complicated. But anyway, go ahead. You say the Demogorgon?
Well, but I forgot what I was going to say. But I did actually, I linked you a while back some parody animation where Jason keeps showing up in the killer shack, which, by the way, the killers group call themselves the Hookers.
Well, that's what they do. They put people on hooks.
Yeah, but the parody videos are hilarious, too. And it's just, I like the fandom that's built up around it, too. But I've been watching a lot of people playing and trying to get my, get a feel for how other people play before mm-hmm. I jump in and do it myself. And I'm playing through the tutorial a couple of times to get my hang on the controller before I play through it.
Yeah, it's a lot to learn at first, but if the matchmaking does you right, then you'll be matched with a killer that doesn't know what they're doing either, or vice versa. So it'll be good. Anyway, sorry, I do want to move on to another topic, but just the whole idea of I think this game is hitting it right now because it has created that multiverse of like 80s and 90s horror movies, which a lot of people grew up on. And what's fascinating about Dead by Daylight, it has a huge queer following on Twitch. Huge.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
But
I was blown away.
There are a lot of queer individuals that really identify and grew up with that 80s and 90s, you know, horror movie because a lot kind of identify with the final girl syndrome. We could do a whole other podcast on this, and I'm sure other podcasts exist. And it's weird for me to talk about because I'm like that. I'm gay, but I'm not as into horror movies as everybody else is. But I get it. Like, I listen to other people and why they
There's
enjoy it.
Ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't
That's
watch
true.
Gratuitous gore, you know.
I liked Cube, even though that movie's probably one of the goriest I've ever seen.
Hypercube.
But I liked
to me,
it. Yeah.
Is not a great movie, but I love it because I like the theory behind it. You know what I mean?
I don't like horror movies, but I love sci-fi.
Well, and Cube was such a low budget movie. It basically used the same set over and over.
Oh yeah.
Have you
oh,
watched yeah. the didn't I saw that they like the Japanese have remade Cube.
Oh, I
Did
heard
they?
About that. Yeah. I heard about
yeah.
that.
I'm going to have to find that.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm with Business Lamp in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork who says, horror movies, scary. Yeah, that's me. When I saw The Descent in the theater, let me tell you, I was clenched everywhere the entire time. That's the first time I've ever cried from being so scared of a movie. I'm telling you.
You know, only one movie's ever given me nightmares. And it was Poltergeist 3. I was afraid of mirrors for a while.
Yeah. S2100 Matt in chat says, there's Sleepaway Camp. Okay, see, some horror movies are so, like, that's the kind of horror movie I enjoy because that is more literal camp. Not, like, just in the name, but that is a camp movie. And that's why I like that movie because it's like Pink Flamingos bad, you know, but it's fun. Anyway. All right, fuck. We just went on, like, a 20-minute tirade on Dead by Daylight. Anyway. Let me talk about other games in my game of
weeks. It's our new Mass Effect.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the third game I played this week, which some are comparing to Mass Effect in some ways. I've been playing Outriders, which just came out on Game Pass on Xbox. And I don't think it's like Mass Effect, for the record. But it's sci-fi. It's in the future. But it's a lot, like even Mass Effect feels more hopeful and optimistic than Outriders does so far. Outriders is a very dreary setup and plot. And it's, you know, not pleasant in that regard. But I do find the story very fascinating. I'm going to give Outriders massive props. They are definitely creating a world, a universe that you're interested in. And you're starting to kind of want to peel back the layers on why is this going on? What is that? And I'm not going to spoil what's happening in the game too much, but there's a lot of setup for like, why is this happening? And you're kind of going through a lot of this like with the main character in the game. I'm not usually into the shooty bang bang games, even though this one is third person and not first person. I guess you could say it's a little more Gears of War in that regard. Am I right? Was Gears of War a third person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
that's what
it is both.
It was both.
But
okay.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
A lot of people did it in third person. So it's interesting in that regard. But I will say my one little read on the game is that for me, the battles are starting to feel a little samey. Like, I'm kind of doing the same thing over and over. Oh, I'm going into a big room. There's a bunch of trenches there. Well, there's just going to be a gauntlet of enemies coming after me. Better call out my turret, my rockets, and all that stuff. I do like the abilities, though. They're fun. But the story is interesting enough that I want to keep peeling back and seeing more in what's in there. And I hear the multiplayer is a lot of fun, too. I haven't really touched it yet, but maybe that's something I'll do in this next week. I know that a lot of people have been playing and enjoying Outriders, even though I guess they had some launch issues, but I didn't notice any of it. Because the day it launched, I was still busy doing the No Man's Sky drops, so I didn't get into Outriders until like a week after everybody else. So I guess it was all fixed by the time I got in there, so there is that. Questbuster in chat says, as a loot shooter, I'm really enjoying Outriders, especially with the possibilities that the crafting opens up. Yeah, Borderlands, S200 Matt says, it's Gears of War beats Borderlands. That's a very good comparison.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, I was thinking it's more like a third-person Borderlands. So that's a very good comparison, I think. So more to come on that. I haven't played a ton of it. I've played a few of the quests. I'm at the point where I can team up. I'm at the point where I've picked a class. Like, you have to play a little bit of the game before you even get there. So, I've played a little bit into it. So I'll try to play some more this week. There's one more game I've played, but we're going to be talking about it in a couple stories anyway. So I'll talk about it then. So we need to move on and get into the rest of our show because I've talked a lot about my gaming week and the kickoff topic and all that stuff. And here it was supposed to be a tired and slow night for me, but I guess I'm just running on pure adrenaline right now. Probably when this show is over, I'm going to pass the fuck out. All right, let's get into the news, though, before we get to that point. So, Loki, why don't you start us off?
So, after speculation for quite a while, we finally got confirmation from the ESA that, yes, E3 2021 is still happening. It's going to be an all-digital, all-free event because there was that rumor that it was going to be a paid event. It's supposed to run between June 12th through the 15th, and it's going to feature Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two Interactive, Warner Brothers, and Koch Media. And apparently, though, there's still the other events going on. We don't really know exactly what we'll see. I'm assuming just probably like some press conferences and stuff like that. Surprised to see Nintendo in there as well, but interesting.
Especially when Nintendo usually does their own treehouse thing
the
whole time. Kinda. So
sounds like money was involved with that one. so we'll see. But anyways, yeah, they're going to have that. And then they're planning on doing like at least right now, they're planning on for an in-person event next year, hopefully, assuming everything gets better by that time. So I'm curious to see. I always like hearing, you know, the news and everything. I'm curious to see what's going to be announced. But at least now we have a date. I'm not sure if we know the dates yet for like Jeff Keighley thing and stuff like that. So we'll have to see what else is going to be out around that time as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe like E3 is going to be the big budget stuff and the Jeff Keighley event ends up being indie and lower budget stuff? And that's not me being shady. That's Us is indie and, you know,
Sony's
the next...
not on that list. Well, that's kind of surprising.
Ooh, good point.
Sony's not
no,
on
it's
the
not.
List.
They didn't do the last E3. They're over E3.
Oh yeah, they're building their, you know, big blockbuster games, so they don't do E3 anymore.
You're right. They could do Jeff Keighley's thing, because I'm thinking of Hideo Kojima, but that's not a Sony Jeff Keighley thing. That's a Kojima Jeff Keighley thing. But remember how, like, you know, every Jeff Keighley event was what's the latest update on Death Stranding?
Yeah,
the longest time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Interested to see what they announce. Because right now I don't have anything exciting that I'm looking forward to this year coming out. So I would like something.
Yeah,
maybe we'll
especially
see what Bethesda's
working on. Especially with the Panini going on in the world still, you know, it'd be interesting to kind of hear, like, what are the game companies, like, what has been kind of slowed down by that maybe we'll finally get to this year as hopefully, you know, more and more get vaccinated and hopefully we get to the other side of this thing. But, yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a better year this year than it was last year. But at the same time, you know, we have to be understanding that this whole world situation and working from home, it is in game development, it is harder for work from home than it is to be in person, unless you're a one-man studio. That's really it.
That's true. Yeah.
So, all right. Anyhow, we'll. The interesting thing is we can fully participate with E3 for the first time in years.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. We'll see what we're going to do about that closer to the event. Maybe we'll do some nightly recaps or something. We'll see. I don't know. It just kind of depends, again, on what's going on with COVID and all that. All right. So I mentioned there was one other game I played this week, and it's this surprise release that came out on the Nintendo Switch, Pac-Man 99. So
yeah.
Obviously there's a void in our hearts because Mario was killed by Nintendo on March 31st, as we know. And that
they became a ghost, which...
yes. Yes, and became a ghost and is now in Pac-Man. Okay. But Mario 35 went the way of, being unplugged. With that. Now, Tetris 99 is still a thing, but it looks like the same developers that brought us both these games, because this honestly looks like a cookie cutter template from both those games, but that's okay. It's a good game. Has brought us Pac-Man 99. It's the new bonus for Nintendo Switch Online members. So I will give Nintendo one gold star, even though they killed Mario. I will give them one gold star because I said they should have had something ready to go when they killed Mario. Well, here they did have something ready to go when they killed Mario. So here you go. One gold star for Nintendo for having something ready to go. So Pac-Man 99 came out, and it's like Tetris and Mario 99, but with Pac-Man. It's a 99-player battle royale, hence the name. And it combines a little bit of regular Pac-Man with Pac-Man Championship Edition. So it looks like regular Pac-Man, and the maze is like Pac-Man. But the concept of ghosts with ghost trails and how the dots restock on the board as you eat fruit and finish certain parts of the board, that comes from Pac-Man Championship Edition. So it is a very interesting blend of both games. And as you eat ghosts, then you send jammer Pac-Mans to your opponents. What are those? They're ghost Pac-Man that if you run into them, they slow you down. And obviously when you're trying to escape ghosts, that's bad because it is a battle royale game. You hit a ghost, you're out. period. So these games go by pretty quick. If you really want to fuck up your opponents, though, you get the little ghosts and add them to a ghost train so that when you eat the power pellet, you eat like 20 ghosts at a time and just send those little jammer Pac-Mans flying to your opponents. And that is essentially the game. They have like a million different skins for this game for like every Namco franchise. Like you could make your Pac-Man board look like Mappy. I know that's a game that Darksoccer has enjoyed. You can make it look like the Tower of Druaga. You can make it look like Dragon Spirit, Rally X. Like, it's like every Namco classic Dig Dug it has some type of skin. Of course, you got to pay money for it. So the game is free, asterisk, but just like Tetris 99, if you want the additional modes or you want the additional skins, then you got to pay a little bit of money for that. Or just pay 25, I think it is, to unlock everything. So, but the game's fine. It's fun. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's something I'd play forever, but it's a cute little thing. So anyway, and it was also brought to my attention, there's an interesting Bamani connection to this game. Did you know that? This is on Twitter. Yeah. So Sampling Masters Mega, who you might remember, did some of the old 2DX songs, and then they've done stuff for Namco in the past. Well, Sampling Masters Mega made the music in this game. So how about that?
Cool.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a Bamani connection there. You can see more information about that over on the composer for Sampling Master, Ayako Sasso, AYAKO_SASO. Pretty cool stuff. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So switching gears to go into the world of plush things for money, there was the Animal Crossing Build-A-Bear thing. They went on sale on a Tuesday morning of this past week, and of course it was a clusterfuck. They had a virtual queue so that people could, you know, buy their animals, which of course there's going to be, I think, sold in stores later, but it was only, you know, Tom Nook and Isabelle. But basically the way that worked is that you start your queue at 10:30 a.m. on the website. And then you'll be randomly assigned a place in line. And when your turn comes up, you'll have a short amount of time to buy items from the Animal Crossing New Horizons collection. And then what then after that, when it arrives, you decide what you want to do with it after that. But the big thing is that they weren't even revealing the characters or items until 10:30 a.m. Eastern. It was really just kind of a big mess. I looked on the website, and they are gonna be going into a re-release, and they have an email out for like the next chance. I don't think they look that great. Actually, the Tom Nook one doesn't look that great. The Isabelle looks kind of good, but they just still have that kind of weird Build-A-Bear body. So it's cool.
Yeah, I totally forgot that these were going on sale until somebody was tweeting about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was today. And I wanted to get one of those. But I guess if Darksoccer is like, they're all right, I guess I don't feel like I missed that much. You know, I feel a little
better.
You know what?
What? I still have your ketchup.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
You've
had that for
ketchup
a while. I know. You sent me a picture finally.
Well, I sent you a picture right after she arrived.
Well, and guess what? In 2 weeks, I can have people over. Well, that's not true because Alan's still not vaccinated. But I can go to your house.
Hey, Rob, if you want a Tom Nook, you can spend an Isabelle, you can spend $300 on eBay.
No.
I'm trying to think of a polite way to say I could also tell those scalpers to suck my balls, but I can't think of a nice way to say it. So I just won't say anything.
I think that's about as polite as one can get.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on. Speaking of things that, let's get to the next story, Loki.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised because there's been a parts shortage and even just like a silicon shortage for a while now. And so right now, apparently the reason why we can't find, you know, PlayStation 5s or Xbox Series X's or new GPUs, not because people are using them for mining, is because the parts that go into these are becoming more expensive. And, you know, based on this, you know, that's why there's less supply around. There's a lot more demand. The demand's not being met except for scalpers and, you know, people that are using those cards to mine. And so, yeah, right now, apparently, you know, they're just trying to work through that supply chain issue. And that, so really what that tells us is that this supply issue with the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5, it's not going to get any better for a long time. At least not this year.
Wow, that sucks. Yeah. I was thinking about getting a new graphics card, but I guess not. I guess I better just learn to work with what I have.
Your best bet is hoping that cryptocurrency crashes again, and in which case all those mining cards will be available.
Well,
on the
hold on, because I just on a whim, on a loo, on a teehee, I bought like $50. So it can't crash yet until I cash that out. But I'll do that soon, if that'll help.
Your $50 isn't very much when you're considering going price of like $50,000 or whatever for you know, Bitcoin or something like that. I'm talking not necessarily dropping, you know, to nothing, but basically, yeah, you know, going back down.
I will say I bought like $50 of one of those things, like maybe it was in January, and I'm up to 75 now. And that's faster than my 401k works. So not that I would ever advocate. Don't ever take financial advice from this bozo. But I was just, you know, it's kind of, oh, for something that was kind of, I made more money on that than I do at the casino. So you know what? It was fun. But yeah, it is. It's unfortunately when it comes to get money quick, just the absolute worst people will come out and just make it horrible for everybody. And, you know, buy up the graphics supplies and, you know, burn down a forest to, you know, make one more Bitcoin or whatever. So,
well, right. And GPU manufacturers have tried to dissuade people from buying them by locking out, basically locking out in drivers, the ability to mine at full speed. But, you know, when they called it unhackable, that's their first mistake. And so what happened? It immediately got hacked.
Yep, so, very true.
Don't you listen? Free advice for any technology company out there: never say your product is unhackable. It just is. It's basically like putting
you're
a bright
a challenge.
Light up.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You're throwing down the gauntlet. This is unhackable.
Just shut up about it and just release it as is.
Yeah,
and just whatever. But it didn't really help. So I don't know.
All right. Let's move on and talk about we're kind of talking about at the top of the show about, you know, Sony maybe trying to get partnering up and expanding franchises in different directions. And there was actually a great comment in chat. I can't remember if I read it or not, and I'm sorry, I forgot who said this, but somebody had said, why didn't they start creating a new Last of Us game instead of going back and remastering? Well, number one, you bet your ass they're working on a Last of Us 3. It's just that's going to take a long time to make. So a Last of Us remaster is something they can get done faster. But I think the way I interpreted the comment was really like, well, why not a different Last of Us like game set in that universe type of thing, which is a fair question to ask. Like, you know, why not, you know, try to use the engine to make something else or, you know, do something with it. And I think this next story is a little bit about, well, maybe this is Sony's plan in a way, and it has to do with mobile gaming. There hasn't been a lot of Sony in mobile gaming. There was Uncharted Fortune Hunter. But I don't think that is on. Did anybody know that there was an Uncharted game? I don't think many of you knew about that.
No.
Did anyone care?
I'm sure there's one person out there in chat going, I love that game. That's fine. That's great. But most people don't know about the Uncharted Fortune Hunter game. So Sony is going to be kind of making a push to get more of an online and mobile presence, kind of like Nintendo tried to do a few years ago, to mixed success. Their Niantic stuff, very, very good. Their Super Mario Run stuff, very, very not good. Their Animal Crossing, somewhere in the middle. So, you know, it is, Nintendo's had some very mixed luck with that.
People really like Pocket Camp, though.
I know. That's why I'm not saying...
People who like it really like it.
That's why I'm not saying Pocket Camp is in the bad column, because here's now, talk about needing AAA blockbuster. Those games weren't big enough for Nintendo. As much as, you know, y'all love the Animal Crossing, and I'm sure Super Mario Run has its fans, and the Dragalia Lost is apparently a very strong title as well, but Nintendo kind of has already walked away from mobile because none of those games were big enough, except Niantic. So they walked away from all that. Instead, they said, you know what, Niantic, how about Pikmin? And that's apparently just going to be the start of it, if you read that press release. Is
stop
that
making Pikmin games. Make another Metroid game. Or make another F-Zero game. How okay. about that?
And actually, to go ahead and point out, they have not completely walked away from Pocket Camp. They're still releasing material for it.
Well, and they haven't walked away from Dragalia Lost or any of that stuff either. But it's yeah. easier for them to maintain the games they have than to cook up another one from scratch. It's more of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Anyhow, where else was I? Oh, yes. You know, Sony did have that whole Xperia Play, the PlayStation phone. Yeah, that's all I need to say about that. That was a thing that existed at one point. But it has been noticed that Sony is now hiring an executive at PlayStation Studios to focus on bringing PlayStation's most popular franchises to mobile. So this is very early on. But it does appear Sony may be trying to craft that in-house, how to get more of their content and their licenses on mobile, because it does create, you know, that whole brand awareness and all that stuff. I'm sure there's a little Big Planet game to be made on mobile somewhere. I don't know why that one comes to mind, but it does. I think of that well before I think of, like, this article I'm looking at mentions Horizon Zero Dawn, and I'm like, I don't want that on mobile. But maybe like an Ayla side story type of thing, or, is that her name? Am I getting Ayla? Yeah.
I don't remember.
I forget. A side story would be kind of cool, but I just don't try to create that same experience on mobile. It's not going to be great. But we'll see. We'll see what comes out. And I would be interested to see if maybe if this ends up because, you know, it's within PlayStation. Maybe they create a mobile game that kind of interacts concurrently with a game that's on the console. Be kind of interesting. Something you can play on console or on the go. I don't know. It could be interesting. So obviously it's just a job listing, so we don't know much. We just know the strategy. SG100 Matt in chat suggests Pocket Kratos Boy Trainer. Sacred Jade in chat says Sackboy Crossing. Yeah, you never know. All right. Sackboy Pocket Camp. Hey, it wouldn't be the first time Sony heavily borrowed from a Nintendo idea. Remember PlayStation Battle Royale All-Stars or whatever the hell that thing was called, which
yeah.
many are still saying should get a sequel, and I don't disagree.
I think it should.
Ooh. You know what series, what franchise would be great for mobile? Parappa the Rappa.
You think?
I think so. That's okay. my guess. I'm sticking to it. All right.
The things, though, that I think make pretty good mobile games are ones that you don't have to have any volume for if you're playing it, like, in a crowded area.
Fair. That's fair. All right. Let's move on. Darksakura. I brought up sci-fi earlier. This isn't what I meant.
Well, actually, the sounds that you were making, the ooh, 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 made me think of a monkey.
Yes.
And this article has to do with monkey.
How about that?
And not even the butt monkey from Toshinden.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, supervillain Elon Musk has been doing experiments with chips in animals' brains. He put a chip in a pig. His, like, Neuralink thing. But at any rate, he put one in a monkey's brain and had him play Mind Pong. He was trained to use a joystick, but it was unplugged. And now he's using the paddle by thinking about moving his hands. Now, the statement that he said about it was that it would help enable someone, like, say, with paralysis to use their smartphone with their mind faster than someone was using their thumb. What it does is it takes it records and decodes digital signals from the brain using more than 2,000 electrodes implanted in regions of the motor cortex where it coordinates hand and arm music movements. And then it can calibrate based on how the monkey plays, right? It's interesting. There's people in chat room already saying that this is how we get Skynet.
Yeah, it's exactly the comment I was looking at from Dartetsuya.
Skynet was not cybernetic, really. It was more
I still think I think the point applies. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think this is it. What I think this is that I think this is,
yes, Act Heft said it. This is the Matrix.
I don't think this is the Matrix. Well, we're not augmenting reality.
This is something worse. This is Planet of the Apes meets Terminator.
This is the Matrix Revolutions.
This is Total Recall, the newer one.
Oh no.
The dude had the phone in his hand and shit. But like,
wait, but are you saying, Darsakra, that if I want the killer to turn around faster on Xbox and Dead by Daylight, all I need is a brain chip?
Yes.
Yes.
Hmm.
Or a monkey. But, you need a monkey.
Forbidden donut.
But now I do have to take a step back, because this actually makes me think of something I was watching about cybernetics for amputees. It was a lady who had just freshly lost her arm or something, and she was in this study, and they remapped her her nerves to certain points to where her stump was, and then outfit the hand, and she had a little control chip. And so this allowed her to work her hand as if it were a real hand. She could grip things, she could move fingers, she could pinch, she could do all kinds of stuff. And it makes me think, what if, and I'm not looking at the more control your electronics with your brain, you know, kind of thing. I'm thinking of practical applications for situations like for an amputee or for maybe even.
What about the good things that video games can do for medicine or brain chips? It's medicine.
Well, I'm also
basically
thinking in terms of exoskeletons, because I've seen that they have them created now for quadriplegics and paraplegics.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking now, though, this could really have, instead of just this little, you know, pipe dream about controlling electronics with your brain, I think it could have practical medical applications.
Yeah, that is the interesting thing here. And that's the very tricky, I guess, philosophical question that's going to have to be answered about brain chips, is that, you know, on one hand, we look at a monkey playing video games and we're like, that's stupid. But and then, you know, putting them in humans for video games, that's also very stupid. But then the way the Darsakra kind of laid out there, oh, somebody who, you know, had an amputation could actually get some type of feeling and usage back, like it's like they have nerves and all that stuff. Oh, maybe this does have something that could be legitimate, but then that opens this whole can of worms of the ethical side. But that's nothing we're going to answer here. But you don't get to person being able to use their hand again until you get through monkey playing Pong, I guess.
Well, and the other thing, though, is that this also does bring in then the ethical question, because I'm sure, you know, PETA, fuck them, and other animal advocacy groups now are in on, well, what about these animals that they're being experimented on? Are they being treated ethically as well? And I don't know, for something like this, you have to have something very similar. Like, if it's going to be used on humans, you have to have something similar to, you know, a kind of primate brain. And it does, this is the part of it that does strike me as, you know, supervillain time. But I don't know. I think if there's no actual harm being done to the creatures, like if it's not going to, you know, fry their brain or short it out or anything, then I'm kind of okay with it. I mean, I don't think putting a chip in a pig's head just to put the chip in the pig's head is that good of a thing. But in a case like this, it's showing the possibilities that can be done by uniting technology and organics.
As the old saying goes, for me, not my circus, not my monkeys. Literally not my monkeys.
I don't know. I think we're a step away from the Borg.
It does seem that way some days, doesn't it? Hey, we just celebrated First Contact Day, after all. And it was another First Contact Day that was not ruined by the Borg. So let's celebrate that. All right.
That's true.
Let's move on to our next story, which I think is Loki's.
Yeah. So this is kind of cool. You know, we hear about all these different prototype games and stuff that were canceled, and now we see what it looks like. Well, one of them appeared on YouTube, and it is a game that appears to be Castlevania Resurrection, which was a game that was due out, or at least it was shown like in the September 1999 issue of the Dreamcast magazine. And I guess they had canceled, or Konami had canceled it back in March of 2000. And they even had an E3 trailer, though, for it. But it's definitely an early build of the game. It looks like from November 5th, 1999. But they did, you know, show gameplay and stuff. It's obviously very early and a little rough around the edges. So maybe that's why they canceled it. But still neat to see this, even though it never did come out.
Bummer, because I bet Dark Sakura would have been all over that game.
I don't know. She might have been over it, you know, all over it like she would have been with Castlevania 64. So,
but ask her, Dark Sakura, isn't the Symphony of the Night on the Dreamcast the best version?
There. You know what? I'm not even going to comment on that one. Okay. Just because, I mean, I would play any Castlevania game at least once, so I would play this, you know? But I probably would hate it after a moment, because I also...
Yeah.
I'd try it, and I'd hate every minute of it.
It was
the only thing that I would like about it is that it would have Sonia Belmont in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has Sonia Belmont in the game, which is kind of cool. Yeah, I watched the video. I watched the video a little bit. It's interesting. I don't really know what the gameplay would look like, but it's kind of hard. I never really got into the 3D, you know, the three-dimensional Castlevania games. I'm more of a traditional, you know, 2D Castlevania fan, but I don't know. It's hard to say what it would have been since it got canceled, but it looked different.
It's a first person, I mean, not first one, but a third person 3D platformer is what it is.
Yeah.
And it looks neat. I'm actually watching just a little bit of it. I kind of like some of the music that's going on. It had potential. I mean, an idea like that would definitely have potential. But it's all in the execution. In the end, it doesn't matter how pretty it is. It matters if you're having fun.
And in the end, it got canceled anyway.
Yeah, and that's kind of, speaking of execution, it did. That's kind of why it did get canceled. So they basically said that it was doomed from the start. The team itself had a lot of troubles when Jason Lee Elliott came on, and this is from his, I guess, personal website. Most of the team had only ever worked on sports games, so they had no idea how to make a 3D action platformer, and the art team wasn't very cohesive and couldn't agree on a direction. So the game had been in development for almost 2 years and had little to show for it.
Yeah. I think if you're going to, like, if it were me having, you know, a 3D, you know, third person exploration, you know, platform game, I would have taken notes from Sonic Team. Or, you know, from the group that did Sonic Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the successful ones and hire people that worked in those groups.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm going to go ahead and jump to the next story, unless you had a final thought.
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. So it's funny. I was kind of making the jokes about why can't we be able to flip around the killer in Dead by Daylight. It actually ties into this next story a little bit, because a first-party Microsoft title, Halo: The Master Chief Collection, now supports keyboard and mouse on Xbox. So that's kind of cool. Now, I mean, it's not like, you know, heck, even I think the PlayStation 3, you could hook up a keyboard to it. And I know the Xbox 360, you could use a keyboard and a mouse in Final Fantasy 11 was on the Xbox 360.
On the PlayStation 2, I think you could do that, too.
You're right.
Final Fantasy 11.
So, but that's the point, is that the game has to have it built in to support it. You can't just plug your keyboard and mouse in and assume, oh, I can play Overwatch with keyboard and mouse like I do on PC. No, not unless the developers actually build in that functionality. So that's the news here, is that Microsoft has built in that functionality to one of their biggest titles, Halo the Master Chief Collection. So they have a Season 6 that just came out for Xbox and PC. And the new patch now enables mouse and keyboard support. Any action can now be bound to multiple inputs while using mouse and keyboard, and that is in the patch notes. And this means that console and PC will be on the same version of the game as well. Also, there's a new Halo 3 map called Waterfall that you can use in custom games. Well, that's fun. This all, of course, on the heels of Halo, the new Halo Infinite, whatever the new one's called, that we still don't know really when that's coming out. But it'll be interesting to see if that might support keyboard and mouse as well. And now this just makes me kind of want, like, ooh, this would be kind of neat if maybe the Dead by Daylight developers would let me use keyboard on my Xbox version of the game, because why not? It's not like they don't already have the programming built in there, because it runs on Windows Store that way. So,
Have they already done the accessibility update for that one?
The colorblind one?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I know it's in planning. I don't remember if it's actually out or not.
Okay.
You know what I would like to...
for more things.
Yeah, I shouldn't bring up another... Okay, really quick on Dead by Daylight. I would like to see them be able to replace the heartbeat noise when you play as a survivor, because that messes with me so bad. I would really like to see it be a visual cue instead. The heartbeat thing is one of the probably the number one thing I hate about playing Survivor. It's just a quick aside I think it's an accessibility thing. I know it seems strange, but I just think that, like, the heartbeat creates this artificial tension for me too.
It's supposed to do.
I don't like that. And if it was a visual cue, I think I'd be into it. I don't know. I know it's weird. All right. Let's move on to a day and age when maybe games didn't terrify us quite as much. Well, I don't know. Actually, there were some real terrifying games back in the day. But
no,
I can't.
Actually, if I can rewind, Rob,
yeah, sure, of course.
You need a VMU.
Why is that?
To throb your heartbeat.
I like that.
Like in Resident Evil.
Yeah. Oh, and SSJ 100 Matt sums it up perfectly. Anxiety inducing in a bad way is what it's doing. Yes. Anyway. But let's move on to a day when we didn't have VMUs, or actually, I think, sadly, per the rules of the classic game of the week, I think we did have VMU well by the time this game came out, because a video game only has to be 10 years old to qualify as the classic game of the week. So we're going to take a trip down memory lane and look at a game that's about at least 10 years old, when Darksoccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be checking this game out. And she picked a good one this week that made me go, I think this game's probably more like 15 years old at this point, and it just makes us all feel old.
It's 11 old. Years old.
Oh, good. Oh, I guess that's good, although that still seems old. But anyway, what is the classic game of the week, Dark Sakura?
Plants vs. Zombies. I love Plants vs. Zombies. It is such a fun game, and I've beaten it all the way through. But at any rate, it came out in 2009. It was a tower defense game developed and published by PopCap Games. It first had a release for Windows and Mac OS, and this has been ported to other devices, consoles, mobile devices, handhelds, you name it. So in the game, you play as a homeowner in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, and you have to basically fight the zombie hordes with your mutated plants. So, my favorite is the corn that shoots pats of butter like a catapult. But at any rate, it was designed by someone named George Fenn. And he was looking at it as more like a defense sequel to a fish simulator game that he made called Unsan Aquarium. He said it also took some inspiration from Magic the Gathering, Warcraft 3, and Swiss Family Robinson. The art was done by Rich Werner, and the music was done by Lara Shigihata. And it was really just completely loved. I mean, when it came out, it was for the Golden Joystick Awards in 2010. It was listed as a strategy game of the year, and it also had earned a download game of the year. And it was the fastest selling video game developed by PopCap. By 2010, it had sold over a million copies worldwide. Then PopCap was bought by Electronic Arts, and they laid off the designer and 49 employees to focus on mobile and social gaming. But there were sequels that came out after that. So as far as playing the game, you have adventure mode where you go through the different levels and it gets progressively harder. And you get like upgraded plants and different kinds of seeds that you can buy and different tools that you can buy. And then you have different plants that you can use morning and night. So at night, you have to use fungi that, you know, you won't be getting any sunlight during the day. But you use sunlight to buy new, to place the pieces on your board, basically what it is, to put like the plants that shoot the pea shooter is what they're called. And then you have the frozen pea shooter. They're pretty clever names. You have the roof level, which is like one of the last levels, where you have to fight Dr. Zomboss, who's an evil scientist who animated the zombies. And he has like a big robot and everything. There's other game modes. There are mini games. There's a puzzle mode, a survival, and mini games. You switch from one of 20 mini games. And you get some stuff from it. Like, I think you can like feed this tree thing that you get at the end of the game, if I remember right. In puzzle mode, you have two types of levels. You have Vase Breaker and Eye Zombie. So in Vase Breaker, you break open a bunch of vases, each getting part of a plant or a zombie. And it ends when you smashed all the vases and all the zombies are killed. In Eye Zombie, you place zombies to get past these cardboard cutouts of the plants so that you can eat the brains on the other side of the lane. Survival mode basically lets you choose your plants and the zombies come wave after wave after wave. So George Fan, when he was developing the game, of course, it was directly influenced by the development of Insane Aquarium, his earlier game. So it has very similar pacing, the drip feeding, so that you get in this game, you get sunlight, but you'll get what powers you up in very small increments. And he said that the inspiration from Swiss Family Robinson came where you're a family defending against pirates. In this case, it's, you know, you're defending against the zombie hordes. It was originally, though, an alien defense game that was under the name Weedlings, but they didn't like the name, and they were going to also consider Lawn of the Dead.
I like that name.
Yeah, but Romero didn't permit the use, and so he just wasn't down with it. Basically, he had a small team to help him with development of the game. He did the designs all himself. They were thinking of doing it in Flash with sort of a paper look, kind of the South Park kind of look. And then they kept going. And it was intended, of course, to attract the casual gamer. But it went into that strategy era and started pulling all kinds of people into it. So you have 51 different kinds of zombies and 49 different kinds of plants. One of my favorite zombies is the disco zombie, and you also have like another dancing zombie that's supposed to look like Michael Jackson. That's right. The disco zombie was the dancing zombie that looked like Michael Jackson, in Thriller. And then, he objected, well, his estate objected to the use. So they replaced him with a disco zombie. The music was a mix of different pop and chiptune kind of sounds, and Shigehara, who did the music, said she drew influence from Danny Elfman's soundtracks, but tried to spread out the themes into something a little bit more across the board. So there were mobile phone versions, iPad, iPhone, and then eventually it came to Android as well. There, of course, were the console versions, which was bundled in July 2010 for Xbox 360 with Peggle and Zuma. There was PlayStation Network ports. There was DS version of it. There's DSiWare port as well. PlayStation Vita port was announced and released. And you could use the touchscreen or controller with that one. And you could shake the Vita to collect your sons and money, but it doesn't have the multiplayer setting. It was considered one of the top grossing games on iOS. It has received amazing reviews over the board. The iOS versions, iPad and iOS, received 92 and 93 out of 100 for Metacritic. It's been, I mean, it really was just so popular, and people are still loving the game. I mean, and it's won so many awards. It won from the Golden Joystick Awards, like I said earlier. It won Download Game of the Year and Strategy Game of the Year. And then after George Fan was laid off, he kind of took some inspiration and worked on Octageddon. So it's another game from him. And then there were, of course, like a bunch of sequels and spinoffs. So we had Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, which is a multiplayer third-person shooter. We have Plants vs. Zombies 2. We have Plants vs. Zombies Hero on iOS. Plants vs. Zombies Battle for the Neighborhood for PS4 and Xbox One. They're working on another one for the portables. It's just everywhere. Plants vs. Zombies isn't going anywhere. There was, by the way, Zen Studios and PopCap did make DLC for their interactive Zen Pinball 2 and Pinball FX 2. There's Plants vs. Zombies table in there. And then Dark Horse Comics did a 6-book adaptation of the miniseries for iOS, and it was called Llamageddon.
Hmm.
And so there you go. It's got all kinds of different cultural references in it. It really is. And don't forget, there was the Plants vs. Zombies level in World of Warcraft.
Oh, that's right. They did like a tie-in thing. Yeah, yeah.
The sunflower.
Yes. You know, it's
which I did.
I was looking up online to kind of see like what has PopCap kind of been doing, and you know, there was like Plants vs. Zombies 3. But I feel like this Plants vs. Zombies kind of really came from like a heyday era of PopCap games. There were so many cute things they were making between like, you know, Bejeweled, Astro Pop, Chuzzle, Peggle, kind of all came from this era.
I still love Peggle.
Yeah, and then I don't know, like, you know, they're still putting out some sequels and things like that, but I don't know if this is related to the fact that they laid off a bunch of people in 2012, which is really too bad. There's definitely a heyday of PopCap games that I really miss.
Yeah. But this game is definitely, I think, pretty much at the top of the list for... Oh, something fell off my desk. But for fun, you know.
Yeah.
And for being something that's a little bit less casual, like you're not playing Bejeweled or Peggle... You've got to put some strategy and time into this one.
Yeah.
So it was great.
And there's a lot of people in chat kind of commenting, oh, yeah, this was great. I wasted a lot of time with this when I first got an iPad, like those types of things. So,
but I remember my old flip phone and playing Bejeweled on that. That was back in the day.
I played a lot of these games on Xbox 360, honestly.
Yeah. But I played through this on PC when I beat it. So all with the mouse.
There it is, your classic game of the week, Plants vs. Zombies. I'm sure many of you have tried that at some point, but if not, this is a chance for you to experience some of the heyday of the PopCap games. The really fun, cartoony stuff. So, all right. Let's take a minute to travel around and do some rapid-fire news. I should talk about this too at some point. I really should have said this at the beginning of the night, but I'm a little off tonight. You guys raised enough points for Shane and I to do our stream about the Shane's definitive Pokemon ranking. We are looking tentatively at doing that this week. I will confirm that on Twitter and on our VOG Network Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. We're looking at doing that on tax day. That's all contingent on how I'm feeling and if Shane gets his PowerPoint done.
There's going to be PowerPoint?
Yes. There wasn't going to be until he said something in like, how am I going to show off these Pokemon? Am I going to do a PowerPoint? And I'm like, now that you said it, I need that to happen. So
that's awesome.
So we're looking at the 15th, but we may bump it back a week. I don't want you guys to like be pissed off if we bump it back a week. So it all depends on Shane's availability as well, because he does have spring break this next week. So he's a lot more available than he will be after that. So anyway, stay tuned to the Discord and all that stuff, and we'll get you the final date. And of course, if you are subscribed here at VOG Network on Twitch, you can use your Amazon Prime subscription. You get a free one every month, and you can use it right here at VOG Network, and you get access to our back catalog of all the videos, so you can watch all your favorite episodes of Orange Lounge Radio and Bobby Black Wolf, at least the ones that were done on Twitch over the past 2+ years. There's quite an archive there now. You can go back and watch those on demand whenever you want, as well as the special streams we're trying to cook up. So if Dark Soccer and I do end up doing a extra stage show with Dead by Daylight, that'll be something you can watch in the video archives, and also the definitive Pokemon ranking and all that good stuff. So
yeah, if it's gonna be something after Orange Lounge, though, I will probably only be able to do commentary.
Oh, not tonight.
And I'm not saying tonight, but I'm saying like after the show sometime.
Oh no, I'll admit
doing the show kind of drains me sometimes.
No, me too, and especially today. But we'll find a day that works for both of us. As long as it's the only other day that's occupied at VOG Network right now is Tuesdays with Anime Jam Session. So as long as it's not that day, and even then, we could still do it before or after. So we'll work it out.
Do you know what next Sunday is?
Is that your birthday? No, next Sunday.
The day before my birthday.
The day before. I'm like, no, your birthday is not the 18th. Okay, yeah, it is. Getting close, though. All right, let's move on. Let's do some rapid-fire news. Loki.
Yeah, so this death loop that we keep hearing about that's coming to the PlayStation 5, well, it's been delayed. It's going to be coming now September 14th. It originally was set to release May 21st. But, you know, as with most of these games that are getting delayed, they just needed some additional time, COVID-19, and, you know, just more polish. So we'll look forward to that in September and more trailers for the game again. And then, of course, we're also getting some Streets of Rage 4 DLC. So the Mr. X Nightmare is going to have a new mode, some new music, and also you'll be able to play as Estelle Aguirre. So that's pretty cool. I still haven't played Streets of Rage 4 yet, but it looks really nice. I really like the art style that they have with that, and here it's pretty much you know, same type of gameplay as the originals. So I may have to check it out.
All right. If that's it, then we'll go to Dark Sakura. Sorry, I know you're focused on that hype train in chat right now.
I actually was chewing.
No, oh, that's all right. Thank you. Thank you. I know since we're recording the podcast, I don't often acknowledge all the every follow and every bitty donation, all that. But you guys really don't have to be so generous. We just did another. No, that's the ticker's catching up. Like, did another anonymous cheer come in? Somebody just anonymously donated 1,000 bitties. Thank you so much. You guys don't really. And there's many other cheers going on, too. I will acknowledge them all at the end of the show, as I always do. Yeah, I just thank you guys so much. Of course, we don't hate it, but. You don't have to, and we just so deeply appreciate that. Thank you, thank you. Anyway, Dark Soccer, rapid fire news.
So someone unlocked, you know, when Disney's Rave came out, and I'm talking about the Japanese PlayStation 1 DDR Disney's Rave, it didn't have a Maniac mode in it. And we knew it was supposed to have one. On the American version of it, it did have that. Yeah. But what's interesting, though, is that they didn't have it. And maybe it's that they wanted to keep it easy because it was intended, you know, for kids. I mean, the arcade version had it. And, of course, they had done, like, all of this music through AVEX tracks and everything. So it was really great. But someone without the use of cheats or anything unlocked maniac step charts in this game. So they were in the game. I mean, people were unlocking them with like pro action replays and stuff like that. But someone did it, and when you save your game, it will save those unlocked charts for you. So be looking for some Dex files out there. Which, by the way, very recently, I found all of my Dex Drive saves. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, wow.
The person who did this, by the way, has a video where they go through on how to unlock everything. And but there is also a Twitter post that I will be posting in chat. But it's absolutely fascinating. It really is quite intricate and is based on time and visual cues and stuff like that. So I'm kind of thinking I might have to bust out my game. I still have all my stuff.
I miss Disney's Rave. It didn't have a ton of songs compared to, you know, what else was out at the time, but like it had some really killer like Disney remixes, like the Electrical Parade and that stuff.
Oh, gosh, yes.
By the way, can I do a quick tangent? It's important. Mm, okay.
Sure.
Since we're going to talk about this era of DDR and all this stuff, I was not alerted to the fact that Erotic, the band that was in DDR, you know, and all that stuff, I was not alerted that their back catalog went up on Spotify, and I'm assuming Apple Music and all the comparables in the past few months. Because,
what?
Yeah, Erotic's Thank You for the Music, their ABBA tribute album. So like 10 ABBA songs on this album.
Which was a great album.
It's a fucking bop. Like it has one of the most underrated ABBA songs they covered, Angel Eyes. I love that song. And they do a killer version of it. And so I just as a side note, because I love the music in Disney's Rave. And of course, I love the cheesy Eurodance shit. That's what made DDR so great. So like Erotic is a huge example of that. Yes, it's a band called Erotic. I think they were in Germany or something called E-Rotic. And they did Do It All Night, I think, was probably one of the biggest songs they did for DDR. I think that's the one that everybody kind of knows.
Oh, Nick, Please Not So Quick.
Well, that's my favorite, but I think Do It All Night is the one that people recognize because that song got played a lot in the arcade. So nice. Mm. All right.
So in other news.
Yes, please.
We are getting an Alex
real quick.
Kit.
Oh, I want to mention something real fast. So you mentioned that the Disney's Rave, that they unlocked Maniac for the PlayStation version. They also did it for the arcade version.
Oh, wow.
So that was something else. They found a hidden Maniac mode as well that was unlockable in the test menu. So you can actually do that and unlock that as well on the arcade version, which is pretty exciting.
Too bad that Disney's Rave machine at Roseville Golf lands in a dumpster somewhere.
Yeah, and I never did get the multi-disc to work with Disney's Rave on my cabinet. I tried.
All right. Let Jamie finish, but that is a
Sorry.
Good footage.
Okay. Alex Kidd and Miracle World remake is coming out on June 24th for PC and consoles. So Sega, Merge Games, and Junkin Team have announced that they're going to be releasing it, and it looks like it's going to be in that same sort of style as the Wonder Boy games. So, cool. I love Alex Kidd.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I remember that trailer kind of surprised us some time ago, so I'm excited it's finally coming out just in time for my birthday. So, perfect. And OLR's birthday, which happened to be the same week. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, things that are coming out a little sooner than Alex Kidd's Reimagined. So, Loki, we'll start with the U.S.,
All right, so we have Poison Control on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Tasso Machi Behind the Twilight on PC. Fighting EX Lair, Another Dash on the Nintendo Switch. Saga Frontier Remastered on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, iOS, and Android. Looks like Shadow Man Remastered on PC. Stitchy and Tuki Trouble on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, Super Meat Boy Forever on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. That's it.
I've not heard great things about the Super Meat Boy sequel, unfortunately. I'll be skipping that one. Moving on. Let's look at Japan. Coming out on the Nintendo Switch, Winning Post 9 2021. I'm sure you're all excited about that. That is going to be coming out on the Switch, as well as Gear Club Unlimited 2. That is also out in Japan this week. Getting a price reduction this week, The Liar Princess and The Blind Prince gets a price reduction this week. This is kind of neat that this is getting a release in Japan. A 2064 read-only memories integral. That is the I forgot that this game kind of caught on in Japan. I think because people saw it as kind of like a snatcher influenced
really
game.
Big.
Yeah. So it's that game came out forever ago, too. Originally, it seems like that was like GamerX 2 or 3 when they were announcing that one. So that was a while ago. So that's cool, though. Congrats to everybody behind that. Let's see. Did I hit everything for Japan? Yes, I did. Well, for the Switch, I did. Let's take a look at the PS5 and the PS4. Nothing on PS5 this week, but as we look at the PlayStation 4, if I stop losing my place, I imagine we'll see a lot of the similar stuff that we saw on the Nintendo Switch. Yes, including Winning Post 9 2021 and The Liar Princess and The Blind Prince. But we have some other stuff, too. The King of Fighters 2002 Unlimited Match comes out on PlayStation 4 this week. And Alt-Deuce Beyond Chronos in regular and limited edition. How about that? All right, that's it for your releases in Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
One thing for PS5. Doom 3 VR.
All right. So it is. All right, a few more stories, and then we will get your comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork in the listener roundtable. But for now, let's get a few more stories. Loki.
So 6 Days in Fallujah is definitely a controversial game. And basically, the CARE, which is the Council for American Islamic Relations, has called it an Arab murder simulator. And they're calling for Microsoft and Sony and Valve to ban it on their platforms from hosting the game, basically saying that it will only normalize violence against Muslims in America and around the world. And the game industry must stop dehumanizing Muslims. Video games like 6 Days of Fallujah only serve to glorify violence that took the lives of hundreds of Iraqi civilians, justify the Iraqi war, and reinforce the anti-Muslim sentiment at a time when anti-Muslim bigotry continues to threaten human lives. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought this game had been canceled at one time. I mean,
it was.
So now it's coming back, but yep. It seems controversial. I don't know if they're going to... We'll see what happens with it, but yeah, I see their point.
I watched a Muslim individual who was watching the trailer, who was, you know, kind of just narrating along with it, pointing out everything that was really upsetting about it. And I get it. My only concern here is that I worry that this type of campaign is causing the game to get more visibility and more promotion. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't think people really gave a damn about this game. I really don't. I don't think there's people that were going to be interested in buying this at all. I'm worried that with this campaign going on, it's only bringing this type of attention to it. Look, here we are talking about it. And I'm sure plenty of other gaming blogs, plenty of other podcasts, plenty of other YouTubes also talking about it. And there are going to be people out there who say, oh, you don't want me to play this? Well, then I'm buying it. And so I'm a little concerned in some ways it's going to have the opposite effect. But I don't want to – I mean, obviously the concerns, you know, I are legit and all that. So it seems like taking away the platform may end up being the only solution. I just don't see that happening with Steam. I really don't. Put a dick in it and it'll get removed from Steam. Put a vajay in it and it'll get removed from Steam. But unfortunately, murder simulators are fine on Steam. We know that. Yeah. So you may have better luck with the console space, but I just worry there's going to be probably more people that are going to buy this game just because they're not supposed to than probably would have bought this in the first place. Yeah. So
there are the morbidly curious.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, buy it before it gets deplatformed. There's absolutely going to be that audience. So... So I don't know, maybe we shouldn't be talking about it, but it is a show about what gamers are talking about, and this is a headline that is going all the way around the industry right now. So anyway, All right.
I shan't be buying it.
It was not a game that was on my radar before, and it's certainly not now. You know what I mean?
There are those people who like those battle simulation games like that, you know, who are really into those war games. And I wouldn't doubt. I mean, I know people who would probably have been like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a great game. And, you know, but they also are very insensitive people, the people I can think of off the top of my head.
One, DJ Romance in chat says, I will be buying this game. And so, you know, but for me, I prefer my war simulators to be sci-fi. So Outriders is fine. Mass Effect's cool, but I don't like the Call of Duty, and that's I like it when it's fake,
but
not when it's based off reality.
What? But I definitely understand how this could contribute to more Islamophobia.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about a game that, boy, you want to really feel hopeless. Check out this game, Death Stranding. It's such an interestingly timed game, this Death Stranding was. And Death Stranding, of course, came out on PC as well as on PlayStation, and that was a pretty huge deal. And some people were kind of wondering, well, how's it going to do on PC? And the answer is pretty damn well, it seems like. Death Stranding, 505 Games' biggest hit, who was the publisher on PC, their biggest hit during 2020. Very interesting. The game generated $27 million between July and the end of 2020. There was also Control, I think it was a game 505 Games did. Comparably, that was about $19 million. But they also had some sales in 2019, so you can't really say it's apples to oranges there. Death Stranding, their biggest title amongst some other games that they've published. And $27 million sounds like a pretty good chunk of change. Mm-hmm. Probably worth it for Sony to put, I mean, even though, you know, this is a publishing agreement with, you know, Kojima and all that, probably explains a lot why the PlayStation games end up coming out on PC later, because it gets the game exposed to a much wider audience. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, yep. Death Stranding, I really need to go back and finish that at some point. It was just such an interesting game, the ambience in that game too. And you really got into the story, right, Dark Saga?
Yeah, I did.
Our lore queen.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
nothing wrong
the
with
thing
that.
Is that it annoys me when there is a game that this much work has been done to it, and people don't look at the story. You know, I think that knowing the story behind something helps with the immersion. That when you are playing this game and you know these people in this game, it makes you care about what happens to them. Which is like reading a book, right?
But I'm not going to buy that game. It's a walking. All you do in that game is you walk. It's a walking. I can go walk in real life.
You know what I tell those people?
What?
Green eggs and ham. Means you don't know. The whole point of that story was you don't know you're going to like something until you try it.
Well, yes, I am, Sam. I am.
I would eat it in a box, and I would eat it with a fox. I would play it here or there. I would play it anywhere. I like Death Stranding, Sam. I am. I like it. Now get the fuck out of my face.
SSGO100 Matt says, walk off the comment section you're complaining on then. All right.
Oh, my God.
Hmm.
Brain just had one of those random brain thoughts that I tend to have.
Okay, you're welcome to it, because I've had plenty tonight.
The main character of Green Eggs and Ham could have gotten a restraining order against Sam I Am.
That wouldn't make for a very fun book, though.
No, it wouldn't. But I was just thinking. That's
unless
what
they can do it with rhyming, in which case then I'm on board.
And some on Fox News would say that's what liberal America has already done to Dr. Seuss's books.
Well, granted... Knowing those books and having used to own them when I was a kid,
you're preaching to the choir here. They didn't ban Green Eggs and Ham, but they sure make it sound like it sometimes.
Yeah.
The books they banned, you probably weren't aware of, and with good reason. You know what I mean?
Although It Happened on Mulberry Street was one of the more well-known of them.
Hmm. All right.
Like, I had a couple of copies of that as a kid.
All right, let's move on. Video games, Dark Saga, what's your next story?
So, the U.S. government is getting involved in the video games, actually. This is actually a pretty cool thing. The U.S. State Department is actually having running a video game development exchange program. And this is in conjunction with the United Nations. So basically, the UN member states set goals back in 2015 to handle international topics that affect, you know, the world in general, like ending poverty, improving health and education, reducing inequality, and combating climate change to conserve oceans and forests. So basically, we have this thing now called Games for Change. The U.S. State Department has now joined in through its sponsorship of the Stevens Initiative. And it is a virtual student exchange program for students in the U.S., Israel, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain. So what they're going to be doing with these games, and they've basically picked games because they're sort of a common ground amongst the students that they're involving in it, about 2,700 students between 6 and 12 years old. But they've got different teachers that are trained through this Games for Change to give guidance to the students as they work on their project. And they also will have mentors in academia and former participants. But the whole point of it would be to create a game that highlights something, you know, one of those major points the United Nations is focusing on to improve the world. I mean, basically just big challenges to humanity across the board. A few of the titles that have come out of Games for Change in the past are GRI, which is very, very good and melancholy. Sky, Children of the Light, and Dreams. They all talk about contemporary social issues.
Hmm.
And the Stevens Initiative is, you know, along the lines, that's why they're working with Games for Change, but they also want to bring young people together in U.S., the Middle East, and North Africa to, and this is the quote from here, increase their career readiness and encourage sharing knowledge amongst different cultures and countries.
Hmm.
So it's also one of the notes to sponsors that the initiative, while it was founded it's sponsored in grants from the U.S. State Department, it's also sponsored by the governments of Morocco and the United Arab Emirates.
Hmm.
So I think this is pretty awesome.
World
really
peace through video games.
Awesome. Pardon?
I said world peace through video games.
Well, it could happen. You start young.
Well, you know, and
I mean,
if you subscribe to the idea that video games are an art form, which I do, this is really about bringing art and stories from other cultures into, you know, into the world through the experience of a video game. And I think that's a great thing.
But the other thing that I'm thinking of is that, well, first of all, hate is taught.
True.
Children are taught to hate. If you have children working with an international group with people whose points and views could be vastly different than their own, it's a great way to teach about those differences while everyone is learning. Because this also promotes, you know, STEM skills. And I would actually be really curious to see if they've got any sort of focus on girls participating in this.
For sure.
I think it'd be absolutely delightful, but I think that they're on the right path for that. Not only do games, you know, not only are they fun, not only are they something that kids are interested in, but you learn the programming, the design aspect, you learn all kinds of stuff with it. And I think it's just a great platform to try to make a positive change in the world.
All right. Well, let's move on from to our next story. We just have a couple more stories left, and then we'll get to our listener roundtable via our chat room over Twitch.
And our one email.
Twitch.tv/VogNetwork and the one email that we got. Sweet Nika is in our chat tonight saying, as someone who works in education, this sounds like a really good platform to utilize and advertise. For sure.
Yeah. All actually, right. Nika, you were actually one of the people I thought of when I saw that article.
Awesome. All right. Loki, what do you have for us?
So, being that last week was Easter Sunday, there was a post that went out from a fellow game dev, Jan Willem Nijman, who said, "Today's Easter. game devs, please respond to the best Easter eggs you've ever hid in a game. And there were some pretty great responses with that. So we got one response from Patrick Wren, who was apparently in charge of some of the different campaigns in Halo 5. And he mentioned that there was a Halo kart racing or a hidden like a Halo kart racing for 4-player co-op in his mission evacuation. And then I guess at the end of it, the person that wins the race gets a heavy weapon. And then, of course, you know, it took, you know, a lot of people just trying to figure it out over the course of the weekend and following the week to try to figure out how to actually unlock that in the game. So they finally figured it out by waiting by this one door for 117 seconds. The Master Chief's number,
of course,
apparently opens the door, and then it spawns you on these mongoose and despawns the enemies in the game so that you get to actually race. But you have to have 4 players to do that too, so you don't have to wait by the door. So that's kind of cool. I think this one takes the cake, though. Apparently, and I was completely unaware of this because I'm a pretty big fan of Time Splitters, but Homefront the Revolution, which was brought to us by Dambuster Studios, they had an Easter egg in the game that included, there was 2 levels from Time Splitters 2. Well, apparently, though, there was also a code that was hidden that actually unlocks the full game playable within Homefront the Revolution. And this developer, Matt Phillips, he actually hid the fully playable, or he was responsible for part of that, and but he couldn't remember what the code was. And then of course, come to the internet, there was apparently this individual, Spencer Perrout, he figured out what the code was and posted it online for everyone to check out. So now you can actually play a Time Splitters 2 that actually runs natively in 4K. Of course, you know, the graphics are from the PlayStation 2, so it doesn't look all that great. But
still,
it is still pretty cool that exists out there. So, yeah.
Wow. So people need to be that bold more often. Hey, game developers, tell us a secret. Okay.
Well, it's curious. So, like, there's
it's amazing that it worked.
Reading through that thread as well to see like what other responses like folks that had some other smaller like Easter eggs. So there was one for Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 that one of the designers had made animal toys that look like Katamaris. They're a fan of the game. This guy in this game, Lena's Inception, it apparently pulls a server for custom dialogue sequences, meaning that they can mess with streamers live so they can change the dialogue in
what?
The game, which I thought was funny.
Wow.
They had, let's see here. There's someone that hid the Dino minigame from Chrome in some other game. I don't know. Lots of fun stuff. But
how
so it's
specific?
Worth a read if you can go. Yeah, I can't really tell what it was. Here's a good one. So apparently in Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, there was one of the artists, I guess, had made Outset Island, the silhouette for one of the vistas. So you see that from The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what an appropriate one to bring up for this show.
Yeah, right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat is saying, I hid Loki in a Tingle costume in a game.
That's right.
He did. That game might still be available, in fact, somewhere.
I hid Tingle in our logo, except I didn't hide him very well.
He didn't hide him very well. All right. Let's move on. One more story that's going around this week has to do with a new speedrun record, just as I'm sure you're all getting ready for the virtual Summer Games Done Quick that's still months off, but still.
And there was much rejoicing.
We love speedrun news, and the news this week is that the Super Mario Brothers speedrun that existed has been beaten. The fastest anyone could get through the game used to be 4 minutes and 55 seconds, and that was back in 2018. But now there is a new record. A Twitch streamer who goes by Niftsky, I hope I said that right, sorry, has a new record that is 4 minutes and 54 seconds. And if you want to get specific,
454948. So it is like 0.05 of a percent of a second faster. It's like by mere frames, basically, that this is beaten. So apparently the there's a glitch in an 8-1 flagpole that allows you to save that all important 0.35 seconds. And that's what it is a new glitch that was exploited called the flagpole glitch. So pretty cool. Congrats. And who knows what they'll find next to do that. So, all right. Let's check out the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And we like to read your emails on the air. Usually we have thousands of emails to pick from, and we really can only pick two or three to read every week. But this week, unfortunately, we just had one.
There can be only one.
That's the way it goes sometimes. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. But Dark Sakura, please.
Greetings, OLR. Last week, Rob mentioned that he was having trouble getting into Monster Hunter Rise because the weapon he was using was moving at quite the glacial pace. To this, I would like to make a couple of recommendations. Have you tried switching up your weapons? There are a few weapons that can move quite slow but hit hard. These can be fun, but they aren't for everyone and can be hard to use at first. If you're wanting something fast, the dual blades might not be a bad start. You'll run circles around the monster you're after, all while slashing and building up your demon gauge. I also recommend the bow, as you can keep your distance and maintain good mobility, all while chipping away at your prey. Personally, the bow and the gunlance are my weapons of choice. Each weapon is very different and has different controls, so it's not a bad idea to look over how you use them in your Hunter's Notes menu. You can also undertake training quests that will go over the basics of Monster Hunter with you. Honestly, I feel like Rise is more friendly to beginners of the series. I've originally played Monster Hunter World and could not get into it simply because I felt very overwhelmed when that game threw everything at me at once. Knowing what I have learned from Rise, I may give World another shot in the future. Have you tried playing together with Shane and hunting as a group? This is a fantastic and fun way to learn. Happy hunting, Garth Wolf.
Well, it's not for a lack of trying from Shane, that's for sure. But no, because I haven't bought the game, because I don't want to drop $60 on the game when I play the demo and I'm like, I don't know if I'm really into this. I don't think I care for this. I think I'd rather just go play Pac-Man 99. I didn't delete the demo, and I think it still has like 28 charges left on it. So I can probably go back in and try one of the dual blades things, but I just don't think I'm into it. And I think, you know what... And this is the kind of thing I've told Shane, too, because he's really, really tried to pitch that game to me. And it's like, sometimes I'm just not going to be into it. And it's like, how many times have I tried to get you to be into, like, No Man's Sky? I love that game. It's so cool. You know, it's just, why don't you play that game? Because he's playing Monster Hunter. That's a game he does enjoy. So I think sometimes it's just, you know, people have different tastes. And that's what it is. That doesn't mean Monster Hunter is a bad game. It's just that I'm just... not feeling it, but I promised Shane I would give it another go, and so for the emailer, I will give the demo another go, but I really don't see myself buying this game until it goes on sale, which, considering it's a Switch game, might be some time. That's all.
Well, and as the saying goes, different strokes for different folks.
Exactly. Binary667 in our chat says, Monster Hunter is divisive. That's for sure. I will say, and I meant this, the demo was light years beyond better than the one that was on the Wii U, whichever one that was. I can't tell them all apart, but it was light years better than that demo, that's for sure. Shane is also saying we'll also do the demo together next time, so you have someone to play with. Oh, then that means we'll do Expedition number 2 in No Man's Sky together as well, won't we, Shane? I love that. Wow. Sorry, I have to acknowledge somebody just gifted 10 subs in our community.
And nice, thank you.
Unlabeled. So I just want to say thank you to that.
Thank you, anonymous gifter.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who's been very generous with that tonight. You really don't have to, and you do. All right. Shane said, you know what? Sure. All right. I'll give it a little if you are willing to. I don't know if I'm willing to drop $60 on Monster Hunter. That's the problem, but I'll try the demo again, that's for sure. Okay, so there you go. Who knew that Shane would be in chat listening? How about that?
All right. That is it for the mailbag. If you guys have anything you want us to talk about, you can bring that up in our chat room. Or I will turn it over to Loki and see if there's any last minute stories.
No, it's a slow week.
Yeah, I really feel like we kind of hit everything that was going on in the news, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll give it another second there to see if any other topics jump out in our chat or things to talk about. What could I ask? Any games you're looking forward to playing in this coming week? I don't think there's anything really new coming out, but I know I want to try to make some more progress in Outriders. I guess this Monster Hunter demo thing will happen in the next few days as well. I'm off work tomorrow, so I have plenty of time to vegetate and play games. I took off work because I was assuming that I'm going to have horrible side effects to the thing. But I'm feeling okay for now, but I'm worried after the show I'm going to completely crash and burn.
Hopefully not.
Shane is giving us a reminder in chat saying, tonight is the last night, in fact you have 45 minutes left, to pre-order the physical No More Heroes games 1 and 2. That's good to know. Bobby in chat says, hopefully you'll just sleep during the side effects. That's the plan. I think I'd love to just take a Tylenol PM and wake up at noon tomorrow.
Dan did a lot of sleeping after he got his second shot.
Yeah.
And then, of course, mine's going to be the day after my birthday on the 21st. So I went ahead and put in to have the next day off at work and see how I feel. Although I was sick for 3 days from the first shot. So I can only imagine what I'd be like after the second.
I hope it's all right. All right.
Well, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. It's absolutely worth it. Because once you get your second shot, then we get to hang out indoors again. That'll be fun.
At least for 6 months.
Yeah. Well, and it may be longer. I just don't know yet. So at least 6 months. So fingers and toes crossed. All right. Yeah. Moving on. Let's wrap it up. Let's get to our final thoughts, I suppose. I want to thank you guys very much for tuning in to Orange Lounge Radio tonight and participating with our program. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then we can't do that. So
then we play for the crickets.
Yes, we play for the crickets. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show, that goes a very long way. So thank you for all of that. Thank you to everybody who sticks with us week in and week out. 864 in a row. And not totally in a row, but, you know, mostly in a row. And A65 will be coming at you next week as we make our way to 1,000.
And thanks for that hype train earlier, too.
Yes. A big thanks to everybody who participates. Of course, I want to send love to the podcast listeners because I know some people can't be here Sunday night because of like WrestleMania or whatever's going on. But for those of you that do tune in on Twitch, we really, really appreciate you guys and especially that generosity you guys show throughout the week.
I only care about one person on WrestleMania, and that's Asuka because she's awesome.
I have no idea who's even a wrestler anymore.
She is adorable. You need to watch her channel sometime.
I think I've seen her, actually, and probably because of you.
If I'm right, I think she was, like, a video game programmer or something.
I think so. I think I've heard of her, yeah. But she's the former Nintendo DS dev, says Bobby.
Okay, yeah, but I love her so much. And I just like how Dan and I watch her channel, and we're always like, welcome to Kanachan TV, yokuso, every time it starts.
All right, I'm only allowing wrestling talk because I talk for 30 minutes about Dead by Daylight tonight. So I'm only
Kana. I only really care about her because she's great. That's it. The end.
All right.
Kana is adorable.
Thanks again to everybody who participates with the show, whether it's on the podcast or here live. Hey, did you know we have a store as well? If you want to get some merchandise, vognetwork.com/shop. And, of course, our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, if you want to stay in touch throughout the week and find out when bonus streams are going to be happening. Did you know our subscribers have secret access to a special bonus channel? It doesn't get used much. I'll have to post more pictures of Mr. Smush in there or something. All right. That's all I can think of for the plugs there at the end of the show. So let's go around and get everybody's final thought tonight. Loki, I'll start with you.
Just more grinding at Minecraft. It's going to be this week, yeah.
My final thought is last night at Target, I found I almost said the pop cap doll, but that's not what they're called, the pop vinyls. I got my Richard Simmons pop vinyl, finally.
Yay!
So hooray for me.
Nice.
All now right. You too can sweat to the oldies.
That's right. I miss that guy. I understand. It's complicated. All right. He's last but not least, Dark Sakura.
Stay tuned after the stream. Stay right. in chat.
All right.
For reasons.
Good orders. We will see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be back to do it all in 7 days. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.